Okay, we have a nice little crowd here. Let's talk, okay? My name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist. I practice here out of Chicago. It's a totally snowstorm day today, so I'm barricaded in my home. I work with clients all over the world. I have a website, davidfeldman.com. The easiest way to find me is on Twitter, at David Feldman, as you know. Purpose of my Twitter account, as well as my counseling, is to help people build great marriages. I'm a huge fan of marriage, and I believe that it's a gift that you can give to yourself and to your soulmate and to your children. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from. Today, we're going to be speaking about what to expect from marriage. Okay, this is a big topic because there's so many people talking about why should I get married? Right? Maybe people here have heard about that, have heard that question tossed around a lot on the internet. Why should I get married? You know, and you know, people say whether it's worth it today to get married or not worth it today to get married, whether it makes sense financially, whether with a high divorce rate, whether it makes sense even strategically to bother with tying the knot. And of course, that age-old question of what's the significance of a piece of paper? Why do I need to do this? Why do I have to invite the state into my relationship? I could go on and on and on. I've listened to literally thousands of podcasts and YouTube videos and read blog posts regarding this. So those are all, I feel, very important questions, and I'm not here to answer that question. What I am here to answer is, or to discuss rather, is let's just say you, on the side of your mind that says that you do want to get married, or maybe you are in a marriage, what to expect from marriage, right? What is it that your marriage is supposed to be all about, right? What's it going to look like, and how do we navigate marriage to make sure that it's not just successful, but that it's amazing and great, right? That's the goal, to have a great marriage, okay? The first thing that we need to understand is, well, how did you get married in the first place? How did you get here, right? How did you find yourself married? Or what, if you're not married yet, what path are you taking to get married? What's your strategy? What does that look like? Right. And the reason why that's important is not for me to give people advice on how to best get married, but I would encourage people to think about their mindset. In their mind, is marriage an extension of your dating relationship? Is that how you view marriage? Meaning you met a girl or you met a boy, and maybe you've known them for many years, you were friends, and now something sparked and something romantic happened and you two hit it off, and now you're boyfriend, exclusive boyfriend and girlfriend, and maybe you've been living together for a couple of years, or maybe you've just been dating but living near each other for a couple of years, and you've reached this point where you want to take it to the next level. So, you know, oftentimes it's the woman, just to be honest, who puts a little pressure to get married. Nowadays, sometimes though, it's the man, you know, let's formalize this. And, you know, he proposes, and next thing you know, you're bride and groom and you're married, right? Because you wanted to take your relationship to the next level. Right? That is a very, very simplistic, very, very common, very modern perception of marriage, right? A very modern path towards marriage. And I'm here to say that if that is your approach to marriage, or if that is how you got married, you're in for a big surprise, okay? Because marriage is not an extension of your dating life. Marriage is not just a continuation of what had happened before. How many times have you heard of people, and I hear this all the time, they date for 5, 6, 7 years, sometimes 10 years, and then they tie the knot, and within a year, they're already headed for divorce. Why? Why does that happen? What changed? Just a piece of paper? Right? So why is it that we can be in a dating relationship for a long period of time, but the second we take that next step, especially specifically marriage, so many things shift out from underneath us? And the whole way we relate to each other changes. And the reason for this is because marriage is not an extension of your dating life. Marriage is a brand new mission that you are taking. It's a brand new joint lifelong journey with your partner to create a new life together. And if you think that getting married is just an extension of what you were doing before, you're in for a world of surprise. Okay, it's kind of like you can give so many different analogies to this, but imagine spending time. Let's say your end goal is to climb Mount Everest, right? So you prepare by taking smaller hikes. Maybe you go out and you buy all the stuff that you need to buy. You know, you get all your gear ready. Maybe you join a club of mountain climbers and you climb some, you know, you start socializing with these people. All of that is fine and good, but all of that is actually not climbing Mount Everest. All that is just the preparation and the decision to climb Mount Everest. The only time you actually are climbing Mount Everest is when you actually start at base camp and start heading up the hill. All the stuff that you've done in advance, that's not climbing Mount Everest. And that's the same thing with your dating. All the living together and the chatting and the preparation for the wedding and to getting to know each other and all that stuff, that's all just deciding who it is that you want to take this incredible journey with, who it is that you want to climb the mountain with. That's not climbing the mountain. So that's why after the wedding, people are shocked. They're like, well, wait a second. Things are different. It's cold over here. I didn't realize it was going to be so high. Where's all the oxygen? Right? people all of a sudden, reality slaps them in the face and realize they're in a completely different type of relationship now. Okay? So we need to, before we even get into marriage, we've got to say, what is my mindset? How am I even going into this? Do I recognize that the day-to-day that I've been living with my girlfriend or with my boyfriend is going to drastically change? Primarily, in my opinion, that comes down to the concepts of the commitment aspect, right? Because once we make that commitment to our partner, there is a whole new world of openness and vulnerability that and loyalty that brings out different aspects of our character, as well as the mission. So let's talk about the mission. What is the mission of marriage? If dating is just a selecting process for who we're going to go on the mission with, what's the mission? Okay? In the most basic sense, the mission of marriage is family. That's the way it's been for 5,000 years. A man and woman get together, and for the most basic understanding is that they're getting together to build a family together. Now, that's not always possible. I understand that. And that's not the only mission of marriage. But for the most part, it's family. So I've seen a lot of times where people who get married and then delay that having a family, if that was what their expectation was. Again, I'm not talking about somebody who can't have family, but I'm saying in general, if a young couple at some point feels like they want to have family and they're capable of it, when they delay that family, sometimes that derails the marriage, right? And we'll talk about the delaying of this mission in a second. But the first most obvious basic thing that we do is family. And so that's a question that you should ask yourself. When you get married, are you ready to have family? Are you ready to have a child? Are you ready to build a family unit? That's part of what marriage is about. And certainly if you don't feel that way, you should definitely check with your spouse. Because a lot of times they do. And you should also be aware that sometimes right after marriage, people's minds change. I know plenty of women who, after they got married, who said they were going to work for another 5 years. And then shortly after they got married, they just have baby rabies and they just want to stay home and have kids. The second reason why we get married, second part of the marriage mission, is to love each other and to support each other. Right? Love means that I have a heart for you, that there's space for you in my heart. That means I care about you, that I desire you, that I see virtue and value in you. And that's work. That's something that we need to to create and to work on and to build. And the same with support. You're going to receive support as a married partner, but you also have to be prepared to give support. And support doesn't mean that when your husband wins the marathon, it doesn't only mean that, that you're there to support him. It also means when he loses his job or when there's a health issue that happens in your relationship, right? You and I are connected and we've decided that we're going to go through life together. And that means that we're going to love each other, care for each other, see the virtue in each other, and support each other. Okay? Another, a third definition or expectation of marriage is that we have adventure together, right? We're going through life. Life in itself is so adventurous. We move and we change jobs and we have kids and we have fun and we experience difficulties and pleasures and successes and friends. We want somebody to share that with, right? We're not married singles. We're not singles. We looking forward to sharing our passions with each other. Another expectation of marriage, spiritual growth, right? This is huge for many people. And it doesn't necessarily mean traditional religion, although I am happen to be traditionally religious, but spiritual growth. You know, we all have a spiritual journey that we're taking, and we want to share that with our partner. We want our partner to be open to that. I know they may not agree with everything, or they may themselves not be a practitioner of chakra clearing or whatever it is. You know, a situation recently came up with one partner became, you know, very Muslim. And that was challenging for the other partner. But respect for each other's, respect and support for each other's spiritual growth, very important. Right? And of course, another reason why we get married, another expectation for marriage is emotional connection. Right? We need that our spouses are there for us to share our thoughts and our feelings and how we're handling life, happiness, sadness, fear, excitement, joy. Right? This is all part of what it means to be in marriage relationship with your partner. And of course, another aspect of marriage is intimacy, physical intimacy. If you're married, expect intimacy to play a major role in your relationship. There's no such thing as back burnering intimacy unless you don't want to be married anymore. So that's something you have to wrap your head around before you get married. I'm sharing a bed with another person. That means that there's going to be responsibilities on me, and there's going to be, and I'm going to have needs as well. This is going to be part of our relationship, right? Another thing that we want to talk about with regards to marriage, obviously a huge piece, is loyalty. When you get married, you're committing to this person in all your ways, right? It's you and him for the rest of your life against the world. That's what it is. It's not an extension of dating where if you're happy with him, he can stay. And if he's not happy with him, he sleeps on the couch. It doesn't work that way. I coach or I do counseling with my clients and I say, never sleep on the couch, whether it's the man or the woman. Never sleep on the couch. Never leave the bedroom. The bedroom is your sanctuary that you share with your partner. Okay? I'm sorry if somebody's upset. I'm sorry if somebody's not feeling good. I'm sorry if they're really angry. That really sucks. And that's a serious issue. But we don't, this is part of what it means to be married. We are loyal to each other. We put the marriage first. Okay? We don't talk about divorce. We don't talk about, so you want to talk about divorce? Have that conversation before you tie the knot. You want to talk about separation? You want to, you know, if you feel like she's spending too much money or she's not listening to you or she doesn't satisfy you in some way, take care of that before you get married. Because after you tie the knot, she's yours. forever. And you love her and you see the good in her forever. And you support her and you're loyal to her forever. So we need to understand this is not just an extension. It's not just I'm going to the altar to show her how much I really love her. No. I don't care if you really love her. I care if you're okay with all these things. Family, love and support, adventure, growing together, spiritual growth, emotional connection, committed to intimacy, committed to each other, loyalty. And what does loyalty other mean? Also mean? It means that you are each other's biggest fans. You're each other's advocate. You're my mini-me that's there to defend me, and the same for me to you. Heaven forbid you're the one that embarrasses me in public or says something negative about me to my friends. That is an incredible violation of what it means to be married. Right? So marriage is that we are each other's biggest advocates. And it doesn't mean that you can't see a flaw in your partner that you want to share. It doesn't mean that you can't notice where your partner is behaving in ways that aren't in his or her best interest, especially if you're a woman, because that's part of why women are gifted to this world, is to help us men see where we can improve, right? And these things that we're talking about with regards to marriage are what I like to call non-negotiable. And there may be more, and maybe there's people here who, you know, as soon as I'm finished, which will be soon, want to share maybe some other thoughts. Kevin, if you want to share something, or Marta, or Sura, I see that you're here. Maybe you want to share some other thoughts. Joe, you're welcome to chime in when I'm almost done over here. These are what's called non-negotiable. If you're not ready for family, love and support, support your partner. Even when it's difficult. I've worked in the past with a woman whose husband started showing signs of some mental instability. That's tough. That's a really big challenge. I've worked with men who found out that their wives can't have kids. And this is one of their dreams. Right? So supporting each other goes beyond anything that you're used to in dating. Having adventure with each other. You know, we don't get married to lock ourselves up into a house. We all want to see the world or write that book or take that, you know, go back to school or whatever it is that we have dreams to do. We need to make space and join our partner in their adventure. Spiritual growth. Emotion, especially from women. Women are fantastic at spiritual growth, right? That's hugely important. If you're a man and you're not growing spiritually, that's going to rub off on her. She's going to notice. Don't think she doesn't notice. She does. Nothing from the women that I've known, few things turn a woman on more than you having a great relationship with God. So that's really, really important. And most women will stand by your side and applaud you if that's something that you choose to pursue. Women are naturally in tune with the spiritual and want that their husbands and their families see beyond the four walls of the house and their job and Netflix and sports. They want to see their husbands growing in their moral standing and their spiritual strength. Emotional connection. These are all things. You know what it's like after a long day of work to come home and your wife has got 40 minutes of talking that she needs to do. And you just have to sit back and say, okay, I'm here. Emotionally supporting her. And vice versa. Intimacy, loyalty. If you're still futzing around with other girls online, or you're still playing games with texting other women or something weird like that, you're not ready. You're just not ready. It's not fair. Right? We need to be prepared to be each other's biggest advocates as well. Okay, that's part one. Okay, only a couple more minutes. I'll talk, and then we're going to do part two because we've really only been going about 20 minutes so far. So I got a couple more minutes. What else to expect from marriage, right? Let's talk about some of the more positive aspects, right? For those who can have a family, the rewards of having children and raising them is unparalleled. The biggest gifts in my life are my children. And the person who I thank obviously the most for that tremendous gift is my wife. This is just a blessing that is indescribable. Having another person who needs you and loves you and counts on you, and you can read stories to, and you can help guide them in life. Right? This is such a gift. Such a. All of my kids at some point during their youth were my really good friends, my best friends. I watch movies with them. I go do sports with them. I make tons of jokes with them. We do art projects together. We go biking together. We go wakeboarding together. My kids are my pals, my buddies. They've added so much to my life, right? So that's one of the benefits of one of the pluses, having my wife next to me, my side. You know, time goes on. And you realize, you look at her, I look at her and I say, wow, this person has stood by me for all these years. What a gift. What a pleasure. Making love to the same woman. I know there's some men who are probably just going to click the goodbye button right now when I say that. But I can, for me and for so many other men, it just gets better over time. More and more comfortable. More and more natural, more and more meaningful. And then when she gives herself to me, even when I can see that her mind isn't like there, not only do I feel like so blessed to have her, but I look at her totally differently and I say, wow, what a loyal and dedicated person that I have in my life. She's doing this for me because she loves me. I mean, the depth is, I can't even put words to the depth, you know. Getting to know another person so well. This is another beautiful thing. I mean, there's no such thing as a shallow relationship in a long-lasting committed relationship, marriage, okay? Helping somebody else, giving to them through all the phases of life. These are some of the pleasures that you get receiving. I've been in the hospital a whole bunch of times. My wife is always by my side. I see people walking in all alone, doing fun things together, biking together, going on vacations together, sitting in a room together, just her doing her thing and me doing mine. Just having that person, it's just fantastic. Right? So that's something else that we look forward to. That's also something that we expect from marriage. Okay? Finally, relationship challenges. Well, this is a mediocre topic here because this is something that we need to learn to expect. Right? Whatever romantic, lustful, kind of rosy glasses perception you had of your spouse before you got married, especially if you're a woman, will very quickly deteriorate after you get married. Okay, it's just part of the package, right? But there's a purpose for that, because what's happening is that your souls are trying to come together. And in order for there to be true unity, we have to see each other for who we are. We have to learn to love and respect and appreciate the differences that we have. And those differences can hurt sometimes, right? You know, you rub elbows, you step on each other's toes, your noses bump. You know, that doesn't feel good all the time. But the reason why that's happening is because you're trying to come close, right? Have you ever tried to kiss somebody and your teeth like hit each other? That doesn't feel good, right? But the reason why that happens is because you're trying to kiss them. You're trying to come close. And that's part of the relationship challenges that we have when we're married. We are two bodies that share the same soul and the process of coming together, but we have to realize that that's what's happening here. It's not, oh, I don't like what he did, so therefore he's out. Or she doesn't meet my needs, so goodbye. No, that's not the way it works anymore. That's what it was like when you were dating. Now that you're married, or if you're preparing to get married, that's not how it works. How it works is, I see a difference. How am I going to learn to live with that? Not only learn to live with that, but learn to appreciate that. That becomes your new challenge. That becomes your new mission. And when you overcome that mission, you will be so happy because you've connected with this person even deeper than was ever possible from your old you. You and her are soul to soul in spite of your differences in bodies. I always like to talk about this. You'll hear me say this more than once. But the fact that two people get married and can connect to the level, that itself is the miracle. That they stay together is the miracle because we're so different. We're different genders. We're different spiritual sources. We're different bodies. We're different cultures. We're different family histories. We're different personalities. We're just different in every way. And yet, we come together as one. It's just a miracle. And so that's the beauty of what happens when you're married. That's what you need to expect as you're moving into a marriage, that you're going to see things that don't work out for you. Not that things are going to be even better than before. No, you're going to start seeing things that aren't better than before. But through those challenges, you have the opportunity to connect to your partner in much deeper ways, which brings that much more meaning, purpose, and pleasure in your relationship. And that, again, is manifested. Children, grandchildren, a life together, the support. It's a package deal. Okay? So I feel that it's very important, and I think maybe some other people here, I'm going to open up the floor just in a minute, may agree that we have our heads put on straight when we're considering marriage or even in a marriage. I've spoken to many people who are married, especially men, that it's like what I'm speaking Chinese to them when I talk like this. And I say to myself, how, what do they think is going to happen? What was the whole thing about? Right? We need to understand all of these different pleasures that we're going to have together, expectations of where we want to go together. What are some of the ground rules of marriage and the beauty, and be inspired by the beauty and joy that comes from building this type of relationship. And then when you have an idea of what that is, you're dating just to choose that partner with whom you want to go on this journey with. Marriage is not, oh, I really like you, so let's just take it to the next level. Marriage is, I really like you, let's go climb Mount Everest together. Let's go face the world together. Let's start our real life. Okay. Sometimes I'm like a preacher. I can go on and on and on and on and on. So I'm going to stop here. I'd like to open the floor. Kevin, I see that you're available to speak. I'd love for your input, anything that you want to say.
Hey, David. Oh, lots of things come out of what you've said. And I was nodding along and going, but you couldn't hear me, right? And actually, I mean, maybe I'll comment on a few of the things, because obviously people have joined the space since and perhaps didn't hear everything you said, so it's no harm to recap a bit.
Sure, of course.
And one of the questions was, said, you know, is it worth getting married? There's a kind of cynicism, skepticism at large today about that. And, you know, I have to say the depth of reward that comes from being part of a team that really works, really knowing that someone else has your back and you have their back and you're really committed to each other, and, you know, warts and all, right? And the depth of reward that comes, as you spoke about being a parent, about having children, about raising family together. Like, for me, it's beyond anything else. And, you know, I work, I'm a parenting educator, and I'm also a confidence coach, primarily with children, and I work with parents as part of that. And when I work with young kids, I see the parents as well. And, you know, it's routine when you talk to parents, you know, they say, oh, what I say to them, when you had your child and you thought, wow, I never knew I could love another human being this much. And they all go, yeah, yeah. They all nod at that, right? And it's like, why would you want to miss out on that? That feeling of love beyond what you previously knew could exist inside of you, right? That's one of the ultimate feelings in my view.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So
I love that.
Yeah. I recommend it wholeheartedly. And I've talked to someone who's been married twice. So I was married for 9 years and I have a daughter who's 19 and now I'm divorced and I'm happily remarried. My wife and I have been together just over 10 years now and she's expecting a baby. Our son will be born in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think what you also said about expectations, right, how it's different to dating. And this is one of the things, you know, we date in a kind of free way because we don't have a model in our head of dating that we've inherited from our parents because we didn't see our parents date. So we just kind of see dating perhaps a quite romantic way and everything. But we have a model in our head of marriage from our parents because we saw our parents married. And sometimes that's not always positive. It certainly wasn't very positive in my case because my mother was divorced 3 times by the time I turned 18, right? So I had very opposite, very a lot of negative ideas in marriage in my head. But what I have been able to do is learn from the first marriage, learn, do a lot of work on myself, get a lot of coaching and change a lot of things. And I think probably the biggest thing that I've changed and come to understand, I'd like to link back to the title of what you've given to the space, which is what to expect from marriage. I think that word expectations is so fundamental and important because, you know, in modern Western society, we have this very romantic idea, and it's an idea that occurs in every fairy tale and in every rom-com is that, you know, all fairy tales and rom-coms tend to end with the wedding, and then the message, sometimes actually up on the screen, is, and they all lived happily ever after. And, you know, ask anyone who's been married, is it as simple as that? And they will laugh in your face because, no, it's not like, oh, we got married, happily ever after, and it was easy, right? Like, that's crap, right? But that idea is so prevalent, as I said, you know, whether it's Shrek or whether it's traditional old-style fairy tales or whether it's, you know, any rom-com you want to look at, it always ends, they get together, often there's actual wedding, and then it's kind of, oh, they sail off into the sunset. And actually, it's just, no, it's a new beginning, you're entering a new phase. But I think going in with these expectations, as so many do today, of, oh, the marriage is going to be wonderful, and it's going to heal my pain, it's going to take away my pain, it's going to solve my problems, it's going to be perfect, and then guess what? It isn't. It has challenges. There's lots of bumps in the road. You will be required to grow and learn and reflect and be humble. Going in without expectation of any of that means you're in for lots of shocks and surprises, and it can be pleasant. And that, I think, is one of the big reasons why the divorce rate is so high, because people go, oh, you were supposed to make me feel good and happy, and you did while we were dating, but now you don't make me feel good and happy all the time. So I'm going to go off and find somebody else who makes me feel happy temporarily, and then guess what? I'm probably going to repeat the same pattern because, you know, second marriages tend to have a higher divorce rate than first marriages, right? So I think that seeing going into it with balanced expectations, that it will be rough and smooth, there will be good and bad, and embracing that is one of the secrets, because when you embrace it, it's not a disappointment. You go, oh yeah, I always knew this was going to happen, it's all part of it, and then you have so much more staying power and you reach such greater levels of depth of reward. And I think, you know, I know, you know, David, you spoke about yourself being a traditionally religious person. I'm not a religious person, and yet all the religions of the world have so much wisdom about this in them, in my perception. And the Anglican, I'm British, right? The Anglican vows, I don't know how prevalent these are around the world, but the kind of classic vows you see in, you know, Four Weddings and a Funeral and movies like that have some wisdom where they say, you know, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And that used to, when I was young, I didn't understand that. And I thought, oh, I don't want to marry for health, sickness and poorer and worse. Rubbish. But now I go, oh my God, that's it. When you go in with that expectation, then you just take it all in your stride. And that is where, you know, where commitment really comes in. And that's where the riches are, in my view.
Beautiful. I love so much of what you just shared, for sure. Yeah. And the whole Hollywood thing, I mean, I love rom-coms. Right? I'm you know, one of these guys that I know it sounds, you know, whatever, beta male, whatever you want to call me, that's fine. But because it's just, it's so happy, it's such a happy time and so exciting, you know, and you feel the great feelings that, you know, that all the actors are portraying on the screen, you know. But I agree, it's just so funny that the end of the movie is at the, you know, it is when they make the decision to get married, and they never show what life is really like when you are married. So people get this impression that that's what relationships, that's what forever, living together is like for, you know, for eternity. And that's so far from the truth. And I get it that having a movie about marriage, you know, is not going to be really that exciting. It's not going to sell any tickets. I get it. There's not, you know.
And the movies that do show marriage tend to show tensions and stress and arguments, that kind of stuff. Like, not in a particularly, how often do they show people transcending that and growing? I mean, sometimes they do, but most of them are about the conflict in marriage, and that's kind of what.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I love that message and what you're sharing. I think that's very true. You know, when we go into marriage thinking, you know, we can oftentimes go into marriage having a what's in it for me, you know, attitude, because that is a part of the equation. I'm not that holy that I believe that we shouldn't look into what we shouldn't consider what's in it for me. You have to, because you have goals and aspirations and you have values and you have boundaries and you have a vision for what kind of life you want to lead, especially for your children. So you want us to ask what's in it for me. But even if that's true, a deeper understanding that it's really what I'm going to give to my partner is going to create the sense of joy, meaning, purpose, and happiness. That's an important point for us to be focused on, and that's what marriage gives you that opportunity to do. I work with clients all the time who share with me some of the things that they were hoping was going to happen and that never did, you know, or they thought marriage was one way and it turned out to be another, you know, or people who, you know, are struggling to find a reason to hold on to their marriage. Right? Because sometimes these pleasures that I'm talking about and this meaning and purpose feel too difficult. Right? That can happen too, because if the struggles are too intense and if the negativity gets too elevated, then as much as you can relate to the pleasures of marriage and the beauty of marriage, right? You may not feel that it's worth it. You know, because you're just in too much pain. And I would argue that a big part of that is because we don't commit to some of the core principles behind what it means to be married, when we're upset or disappointed, right? How many of us want to continue supporting a partner when we're disappointed or angry, right? How many of us feel like emotionally connecting with our partner if we're disappointed in ourselves or are going through a tough time for ourselves? How many of us want to show up for intimacy if we feel like maybe we're being ignored in that area, or our partner isn't affectionate as much, or our partner, a big one that I talk about a lot on Spaces, maybe you don't want to show up for intimacy because in your mind your partner doesn't desire you, right? So, or maybe you don't feel desire. Right. So what we do is we say, okay, well, I don't feel desire. I don't feel desire. So therefore I'm not going to participate in intimacy, or I don't feel like my partner listens to my issues with an open heart. So therefore I'm not really going to be emotionally connecting anymore. I'm kind of like going to shut down. Right. So when we start chipping away at some of these foundational points that I had made a little bit earlier, and that I think Kevin was talking about, when we start allowing those to slide, then we're undermining the very foundation of the connection that we're trying to build, right? And one of the key aspects of what marriage, that one of the most amazing growth opportunities, especially for men, because I feel that women intuitively are connected to this on a deeper level. And like it almost like a woman is like the fertile ground. So she's going to give forth. You know, but for men, I think it's a little bit, we're kind of in the air a little bit. And one of the key growth opportunities for men is for us to focus on these things specifically when they're difficult. It's life-changing. You know, I've shared this story before, but about, I don't know, maybe it's been 10 years ago already, I was going through a rough time in my marriage, and I just wasn't really feeling that into things, and didn't have energy, and I just didn't appreciate my spouse or, you know, all the blessings that I had. So amongst other things, one thing I did is I decided I'm going to start giving to my family. So I started making my kids homemade fresh waffles every morning for breakfast. I used to go to work in the morning early, stopped doing that. And I started making my kids breakfast every morning. But what really changed things is when I decided to make my wife a wholesome, healthy breakfast every single day. And I did that, you know, 365 days a year for 4 years, which comes out to be about 1,300 or 1,400 breakfasts. Now, I challenge anybody to do that, because it's not just about making breakfast every day. It's about going out of your way to make something very, you know, it took a little time to do. But what was really the most growth-inspiring aspect was that I did it no matter how I felt in that moment. I did it no matter whether we were fighting or whether we had a good day together or whether it was difficult or whether we were struggling, whether I was feeling depressed. I just did it every day. And what I learned is that when we go through the motions of being a good partner, and we actually show up, like Woody Allen says, 80% of life is just showing up. When we show up, it's amazing the breakthroughs that we can have, because your emotions and your intellect and your spirit follows. You know, and so that's a huge part of the growth of marriage. And I always connect it to mountain climbing, right? Like, you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the, if you just keep putting that one foot in front of the other, you'll get to the top. I'm sure there's a million stories and excuses on the way up of ways that you can just decide to turn back. But all you have to do, I know it sounds trivial the way I'm saying it, is you just got to keep going and you'll get to the top. You'll make it. And the same thing with marriage. And that's a huge emotional growth opportunity, especially for men. Joe, you wanted to say something and I'd love to have you share. Are you available to chat?
Yeah, I can speak. I'm not driving anymore. Yeah, I think one of the things that I think, and this is something that comes across, you know, I'm 43, I've been married 20 years, and one of the things that comes across from the guys that I speak to on a kind of regular basis is that men, and I speak specifically for men because that's who I generally deal with, they're not really that prepared for marriage. And I think the reason for this is, and this is kind of in line with what Kevin was saying, is that we have this notion of kind of, we settle down, we get married, and we live happily ever after. And the problem is that the happily ever after bit, you know, in terms of people's lives, in terms of how they plan their lives out, you know, they might decide that they're going to get a job, maybe get a house together with someone, settle down, get married, have kids. But no one really considers the happily ever after bit. And it's kind of, it's not really something that people give a lot of thought to. And I think that it's helpful to look at marriage as like a passport without any visa stamps in it. So, okay, you've got married, you've got the thing that proves that you're married, but the kind of the visa stamps are almost like the journey that you go on in marriage. Okay. And so you start your marriage with a blank passport, you know, a blank scrapbook or a book that you've got to write, you know, and your marriage becomes a story that you have to write. And I think that one thing that makes it very difficult for particularly young couples is that you have like the honeymoon period of marriage where, you know, everything's really exciting and it's all very new and, you know, we're newlyweds and stuff and that. And quite often when we're investing in the early stages of marriage, we often put on a mask because we want our new wife or our new husband to see us in the best possible light and to not see any of our faults or imperfections. But over time, they come to the surface, along with any issues that you've had in the past, along with any issues that you're wife has had in the past. And these could be numerous things through upbringing or experiences or jobs or friendship groups or loads of different things come up. And part of the beauty, but also challenge of marriage is working your way through this stuff together and supporting each other to work through this stuff together. And allowing your marriage to be a vehicle for your own kind of personal growth. And I think one of the things that I notice quite a lot, again, particularly when relationships and marriages are getting into difficulties, is that marriage is a union between two people. And sometimes people misinterpret it as merging into one. And what happens when that occurs is that they lose themselves. They lose a sense of their own identity. And some of what I do, and probably some of what you do, David, and some of the other people that are helping people with relationships, is actually getting people to reconnect with that sense of not, it's a sense of an individuality and autonomy within the union of marriage. Because I think that when husband or wife lose themselves, that's sometimes when the difficulties occur. And I like what there's a Jungian author called James Hollis, and he talks about finding meaning in midlife. But to your point on meaning, David, he talks about how as young people we're on like an ego journey, but as we get older, we go on this soul journey. And the soul journey means that we are more concerned with kind of meeting our own needs, and we develop into a kind of a greater depth of maturity in our relationships. So we accept our partners for who they are, what they are. We're not on this train of trying to project ourselves onto them. And it's this mature marriage, it's a mature masculinity. And I think it's probably a mature femininity as well that arises from that.
I think what you're saying is just really on the mark. I mean, I agree with you. And I do see that. I agree with you on that part about losing yourself, you know. That is a little bit of a sign of emotional immaturity, you know, because what's happening there is you're sublimating your own self to kind of blend in with a persona that you're so in love with. Mm. You know, it's like, I'm so attracted to this, I want to be a part of it. And that's fine. That's fine, right? Because as in my belief, at least, we are sharing the same soul. So there is that pull, you know, there is that pull to unify, you know, but at the same time, you know, God separated our souls for a reason. And there's a reason why I have my personality and my wife has hers. Mm. And that's because there's aspects of who I am that's important for her to experience. And there's aspects of who she is and strengths that she has that are important for me to experience, but for me to experience as me, not yes. for me to fold into as a part of her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And I'll never forget, like when we got married, I'll never forget one of the cards that we got on our wedding day was from a couple that had been in some difficulties. And the message at the bottom of their card was, never take each other for granted. And I think when we are kind of sort of youthful and when we're kind of getting into the early stages of marriage, you know, older people say to us stuff and we kind of roll our eyes and we're like, oh, yeah, whatever sort of thing. But in actual fact, you do need to listen to what older people are saying. So don't take each other for granted. Make sure you go on date nights. Make sure you make time for yourself. You know, enjoy the children when they're young. You know, people say this stuff. Older people will say this stuff to you, not just to be busybodies, not to stick their nose in. They're saying it because they want you to be mindful of these things that you need to appreciate on the journey. It's like saying, okay, you've got your passport. You're going to go on your journey. These are the little kind of landmarks that you need to really appreciate going along the way. Take it from us because we didn't stop and take in these landmarks as we should have done when we were going past them. And so it's good to get wisdom from older people. And I know Kevin's really strong on this as well, particularly in terms of, you know, the information that goes around on Twitter. Kevin is very strong on saying, listen to guys who have been married for a particular period of time, because they know what they're talking about, not the pickup artist guys, because, you know, it's, I won't say what I think, but you know what I mean. It's, listen to the people who have been down the path already and know the score, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I agree with you.
Can I cut in? Thanks,
Joe. Please? Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. Only take relationship advice from people who are happily married. Right? They're the only people to take relationship advice from, people who are happily married. And that's such a fundamental, obvious, like trite thing to say. But so many people take advice from the, you know, the girls at work say this, that, and the other. What do you think about what they said? Well, are they happy married? Oh, no, they've got this whole catalogue of broken relationships and men keep standing them up and ghosting them and they've got all these problems, right? Yeah, so don't listen to them. Find the people who are happily married and talk to them. It's so obvious, but yet there's so much information. There's so many people willing to give their opinion and it's like they are not the people to listen to. So yeah, that's what I say.
There you go. You got double bubble there, David, from both of us giving you our pearls of wisdom. But, you know, it's we say it kind of jokingly, but there is a seriousness about it, because I think that a lot of the advice that people that are entering to marriage are getting is advice that is coming from the pickup community, not from the married men and women community. And I think this is really important. What Kevin is saying is, like, you really, for anyone that's on this space who is even considering marriage or even in the early stages of marriage or even been married for a few years, take advice from people that know what they're talking about, not, for want of a better word, kids that are sitting in mum and dad's basement, because, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They really don't.
Totally.
Can I?
Yes.
Can I butt in for just a second?
Please.
Thank you. What Kevin said times 1,000. You know, I see so much advice from so many people, and I really, really firmly believe that you need to get it from someone who's been in a successful marriage, are in a successful marriage for an extended period of time. I really do. And also, if it can only be mandatory for people to go to counseling before they get married. And some say, well, that's great. You know, the young people really need that. Well, no, it's not just the young people that need that. I think even more so, it's people who are going into a second marriage. Because as y'all were talking about, you're your own person and you need to be your own person. But when you're going into a second marriage, there may be children, all kinds of baggage. You may have had great relationships before, bad relationships. So I just think that's fundamentally important, because as someone said earlier, that's pretty much the highest divorce rate, second marriages. So that's just my two cents. You guys are great.
Thanks, Marta. We always love when you contribute, for sure. Well, I wanted to point out something that that Joe had mentioned a little bit earlier, and even what Marta was saying. You know, I, as a therapist, I agree so much with what Kevin was saying and what Joe and what you were saying, Marta, about, you know, speaking from experience. There's a lot that I can offer as a trained therapist. We learned a lot in therapy school, for sure. You know, there's no question. Counseling is a very professional program, and there's all this kind of stuff. But it's so difficult for me to speak about situations or people that I have no experience in, you know. So I agree with what Kevin was pointing out, that it's like so much of the wisdom that we have and the value that we bring is that we've successfully navigated the challenges that our clients are experiencing. You know, even when it comes to things like second marriages, you know, I don't know what that's like to have a blended family. I don't know what the challenge is to, you know, be dating a woman and for her to be having three kids in tow. You know, I can see podcasts about it. I can listen to people talk and I can kind of feel like I can empathize, but how much wisdom do I actually have to share? you know, limit it. Even sometimes people approach me on Twitter about dating advice. And I do, you know, work with people who are in the dating process for sure, because a lot of people in the dating process are, you know, in transitioning towards marriage. But I always let them know that the last time I went out on a date was in 1992. Okay, that's 30 years ago. And I would assume things have changed a little bit since then. You know, so it, as much as I like to, you know, help people as much as I can, I do feel that it's, you know, it's important to for people to be able to connect to whoever they're getting advice from, not just personality wise, but also make sure that that person has some experience and positive experience in where you're trying to go. Well, until somebody else pipes up, I do wanted to say something that Joe mentioned a little bit earlier, which is, you know, what happens in marriage with regards to the emotional maturity that occurs. You know, one thing that when couples come to me that I'm very successful in helping them repair their relationships. And one of the simplest things that I focus on is how whatever they're presenting problems are really don't define their relationship, and that their relationship is significantly deeper than that. And that their love for each other has withstood much more serious challenges than what they're coming to me about right now. And it may feel right now that things are off the rail, or my partner's totally disrespectful, or she doesn't care about how I feel, or that we just don't see eye to eye, or they're not growing at the same rate that I am. We just don't want the same things in life, right? This may be like a 28-year-old or a 32-year-old, and please forgive me if those are your ages, but at that age, there's just so little that you understand about life. No offense. I'm not saying you're not smart and have been through a lot, but what happens, especially as you stick it out in relationships, is that the same things that used to ruffle your feathers years ago, and I believe this is kind of like what Joe was talking about, the maturity of your love and your commitment and your strength and resilience, the same things that used to ruffle your feather years ago don't bother you anymore as you grow older. And you start looking at your partner totally differently. You stop looking at your partner as somebody who has to be perfect and has to please you and has to be this type of person and da-da-da. You stop looking at them like that. Instead, you see her humanity. You see her soul. You see her personhood. And yeah, her personhood sometimes is gonna, you know, make you shake a little bit. Yeah, that's just part of what it means to live in the same house with somebody else. But we stop taking those negative experiences and start saying, that's the totality of our relationship. That's who she is. And I can't live with that. Right? When we go down that path, we're taking a sledgehammer to our commitment, to our love, to our heart, to our connection, right? And instead, we need to roll with the punches. We need to roll with the challenges. You know, one thing I like to remind people is that, you know, they may be experiencing challenges with their wife, but guess what? Life is full of challenges. You're going to be experiencing challenges with this person or without them. Right? There's no one goes through. God didn't put you here to just, you know, easy street. There's no one here that doesn't have challenges. It's not the way it works. So if you're having challenges, you know, at least you have a partner who's with you. At least you have somebody there who is, for now, hopefully forever, is committed to you. You don't screw up badly enough, is committed to you. You know, so we need to stop looking at our partners as if they're supposed to be some sort of objective kind of, you know, vision or perfection, and instead start realizing that these differences are going to be part of the journey, and then not to take them so to heart. And I tell you, when I work with my clients like this, I can't tell you how much success I have just when I normalize it. For a lot of men, oh, she doesn't listen to me. I say, okay, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what percentage, you know, from 1% to 100%, how often do you think she listens to me? Maybe only 50 or 60%. And I say to him, 50 or 60%? You've got to be giving classes on how you get this to happen. This is insane. How did you do that? And I go through all these different things and different ways that she actually listened to what he said and did what he said. And he's like shocked. Maybe we have to have our expectations set on proper, right? If a guy's walking into a relationship thinks that he's the boss and he has to this and he has to, he's going to be in a big surprise. Now, just the other day, there was a gentleman that came on the space. We were talking about sexuality and marriage. And he got in and he said, you know, before I got married, I thought that, you know, the second I tied the knot, I'm going to have unlimited access to intimacy. It's like every man that was on the space put up the little smiley face, you know, the laughing with tears. It's like, what were you thinking? And I mean, he even laughed at himself as well, because he realized that his expectations were totally off. And thank God he's still happily married. But part of it was his growth in recognizing that, you know, that part of marriage is the overcoming of the challenges that we face together. And that itself is the most beautiful spiritual journey. One of the phrases that I like to use when I'm working with clients is I say, marriage is the most meaningful and intense individual journey you will ever take with somebody else. Right? That you will ever share with somebody else. And it's like an oxymoron, because it's an individual journey, but you're sharing that with somebody else, because there's so much of marriage that has to do with you. So much of marriage that's just about you. And that's a big part, I think, of what Kevin was talking about, what Joe was talking about, learning how to show up every day as a great partner. You know, and when we do that, when we show up every day as a great partner, it's like we get better and better at marriage. You know, and that gives us the resilience and the strength to create a deeper meaning, a deeper connection, to give more, to have greater happiness, to share a longer life, if God wills it, with your partner. I'm sure, Kevin, if you want, you can share. Maybe you can tell us some of the differences between how you, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if it's true, but maybe there's a difference in the way you showed up in your first marriage versus your second marriage. You know, maybe there's something there that you want to share.
Well, yeah, how long have we got? There are a lot of differences. My wife's here, actually. She's laughing. She's listening. And I think so I think expectations is certainly one. And I think also so many other aspects of maturity and self-knowledge and self-understanding, because I did a lot of work on myself, a lot of personal development, a lot of courses, a lot of getting coaching, reading books about relationships. As I mentioned earlier, my mother was divorced 3 times by the time I turned 18. She was 16 when I was born and she had me, and my parents, you know, she was pregnant, so they got married because she was pregnant. They split up like a year later. I lost touch with my dad. She got married and divorced 2 more times. So in my head, there was lots of kind of chaos about marriage. You know, when I thought about marriage, I thought of arguments, divorce, financial problems, moving house, fighting. You know, it wasn't, a happy model I had. So so I was kind of lurching in my late teens, early 20s. I was kind of lurching from one relationship to another, just trying to kind of feel good and make the pain go away by finding the, you know, hugging someone, being with someone feels good, right? Sure. In a sort of transient way, perhaps. And so these relationships didn't really work. And I got married about the age of 30, divorced about the age of 40. I'm now 54. And so, yeah, certainly my expectations changed, but also, you know, my just whole understanding of human psychology, human relationships, human interactions, myself, you know, there was a lot that changed. And I think that there was something Joe said about marriage as a personal development journey. And I think it's Eckhart Tolle, I remember him, oh, yes. A quote of his really hit with me. And it was, he said, you know, the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy. The purpose of marriage is to help you grow.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I think, you know, to go, the purpose of marriage is not to make me happy. What is this? Who is this crazy person? And then it's like, well, yeah, consider there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I think that it comes back to what I was saying earlier. Once I embrace that, then the rough and the smooth come together. You know, the vows that my wife and I wrote to one another, and we wrote some separate vows, and we also had some vows we wrote together that we both said. We talk about, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times when I'm not going to like you. There's going to be times when I'm going to, you know, look at you and think, oh my God, what was I thinking? And that kind of, you know, we talked about that stuff because we knew it would come. And then when you have those thoughts, when you have those time days when you don't get on, you have those times when you think, oh, have I made a mistake? Who is this person, this stranger that I've let into my house and all this kind of stuff? Because you know that's just part of the journey, it's like we're this deep lake, and all the storms that go on the top of the lake, on the, you know, even though there might be waves and rain and stuff on the top of the surface of the lake, it doesn't matter because deep down the seas are calm and it is still and it is deep. So then we're not threatened by all those day-to-day waves and all those emotions and all those kind of upsets and disappointments and stuff. So we actually, you know, the paradox is when you embrace them, they're not a big deal, and it's all just part of it and part of that personal development journey that Joe was mentioning.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that Eckhart Tolle quote. That's you know, he was such a, he, I don't know what he's doing nowadays, but he was such a he was such an inspiration to me, you know, the whole idea. It's just such a calming influence in my way of looking at the world in general. And, of course, applying it to your marriage, that, you know, everything that's happening to you in this moment in time is exactly the way the universe has structured it for the proper reason. And just letting go and loving what is, huge, huge transition instead of, you know, a huge growth opportunity. And if that is your mindset in marriage, you're going to do really well. You know, learning to love what is. If that's how you see things, then it's kind of like your emotions aren't following what your vision of the world should be and who your wife should be. Your emotions begin to build around who she actually is and what you're noticing right now. And that's a very important growth opportunity, you know, when we do that, because it helps us kind of screw our heads on straight. One of the things I did once in my marriage is I went on what's called a love diet. And I wrote about this. I should actually probably print it into an e-guide or something like that I just give away on my website. But what I did is for about 3 weeks, I decided that I was going to journal every day. And what I did in my journal every day is I chose an issue that I had with my wife. So every day I would choose one issue that I had with my wife. Maybe something that, you know, I thought that she should do differently, or I thought that she had changed over time, or I thought this wasn't good for us. If I wanted to, the list could go on and on, right? So now's not the year. I'm not paying anybody to be my therapist right now, so I'll stop. But the idea was that I chose one issue that I had with my wife every day, and I wrote in a journal. I challenged myself to see that differently, to see the good. I just made it up, whatever I could come up, whatever crazy excuse I can come up with for why she's behaving this way, but for the positive. And I'll tell you that it was one of the most life-shifting exercises I've ever done. I mean, it was like every single thing she did. And once I changed the way I saw her through writing why she's behaving the way she's behaving and how actually it's actually for our benefit and for the benefit of the relationship, it was like there was a depth to my love for her that I had never experienced, because I had this wall that was up that wouldn't allow my heart to fully embrace who she is, you know. And journaling this love diet, I called it, you know, journaling this gave me the strength and the openness to see her even better than I had before, because I was no longer looking at her from what she was giving me. I was looking at her for the beauty that she currently represents. And I was like, wow. She's amazing, you know, and she's even better than I thought before. You know, and it wasn't that fantastical that it was like I was living the willing suspension of disbelief or something like that. I wasn't making things up completely. But I was looking at her with a place of compassion and positivity and gratitude, you know, and that really shifted the whole way I see that you'll ever share with somebody else. And it's like an oxymoron because it's an individual journey, but you're sharing that with somebody else. Because there's so much of marriage that has to do with you. So much of marriage that's just about you. And that's a big part, I think, of what Kevin was talking about, what Joe was talking about, learning how to show up every day as a great partner. You know, and when we do that, when we show up every day as a great partner, it's like we get better and better at marriage. You know, and that gives us the resilience and the strength to create a deeper meaning, a deeper connection, to give more, to have greater happiness, to share a longer life, if God wills it, with your partner. I'm sure, Kevin, if you want, you can share. Maybe you can tell us some of the differences between how you, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if it's true, but maybe there's a differences in the way you showed up in your first marriage versus your second marriage.
Well, yeah, how long have we got? There are a lot of differences. My wife's here, actually. She's laughing. She's listening. So I think expectations is certainly one. And I think also so many other aspects of maturity and self-knowledge and self-understanding, because I did a lot of work on myself, a lot of personal development, a lot of courses, a lot of getting coaching, reading books about relationships. As I mentioned earlier, my mother was divorced three times by the time I turned 18. She was 16 when I was born and she had me, and my parents, you know, she was pregnant, so they got married because she was pregnant. They split up like a year later. I lost touch with my dad. She got married and divorced two more times. So in my head, there was lots of kind of chaos about marriage. Yeah, when I thought about marriage, I thought of arguments, divorce, financial problems, moving house, fighting. You know, it wasn't it wasn't a happy model I had. So I was kind of lurching in my late teens, early 20s. I was kind of lurching from one relationship to another, just trying to kind of feel good and make the pain go away by finding the, you know, hugging someone, being with someone feels good, right? Sure. In a sort of transient way, perhaps. And so these relationships didn't really work. And then I got married about the age of 30, divorced about the age of 40. I'm now 54. And so, yeah, certainly my expectations changed, but also, you know, my just whole understanding of human psychology, human relationships, human interactions, myself, you know, there was a lot that changed. And I think that there was something Joe said about marriage as a personal development journey. And I think it's Eckhart Tolle. I remember him, a quote of his really hit with me. And it was, he said, you know, the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy. The purpose of marriage is to help you grow.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I think, you know, to go, the purpose of marriage is not to make me happy. What is this? Who is this crazy person? And then it's like, well, yeah, consider there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I think that it comes back to what I was saying earlier. Once I embrace that, then the rough and the smooth come together. You know, the vows that my wife and I wrote to one another, and we wrote some separate vows, and we also had some vows we wrote together that we both said. We talk about, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times when I'm not going to like you. There's going to be times when I'm going to, you know, look at you and think, oh my God, what was I thinking? And that kind of, you know, we talked about that stuff because we knew it would come. And then when you have those thoughts, when you have those time days when you don't get on, you have those times when you think, oh, have I made a mistake? Who is this person, this stranger that I've let into my house and all this kind of stuff? Because you know that's just part of the journey, it's like we're this deep lake, and all the storms that go on the top of the lake, on the, you know, even though there might be waves and rain and stuff on the top of the surface of the lake, it doesn't matter because deep down the seas are calm and it is still and it's deep. So then we're not threatened by all those day-to-day waves and all those emotions and all those kind of upsets and disappointments and stuff. So we actually, you know, the paradox is when you embrace them, they're not a big deal and it's all just part of it. and part of that personal development journey that Joe was mentioning.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that Eckhart Tolle quote. That's, you know, he was such a, he, I don't know what he's doing nowadays, but he was such a, he was such an inspiration to me, you know, the whole idea. It's just such a calming influence in my way of looking at the world in general. And of course, applying it to your marriage, that, you know, everything that's happening to you in this moment in time is exactly the way the universe has structured it for the proper reason. And just letting go and loving what is, huge, huge transition instead of, you know, a huge growth opportunity. And if that is your mindset in marriage, you're going to do really well, you know, learning to love what is. If that's how you see things, then it's kind of like your emotions aren't following what your vision of the world should be and who your wife should be. Your emotions begin to build around who she actually is and what you're noticing right now. And that's a very important growth opportunity, you know, when we do that, because it helps us kind of screw our heads on straight. One of the things I did once in my marriage is I went on what's called a love diet. And I wrote about this. I should actually probably print it into an e-guide or something like that that I just give away on my website. But what I did is for about 3 weeks, I decided that I was going to journal every day. And what I did in my journal every day is I chose an issue that I had with my wife. So every day I would choose one issue that I had with my wife. Maybe something that, you know, I thought that she should do differently, or I thought that she had changed over time, or I thought this wasn't good for us. If I wanted to, the list could go on and on, right? So now's not the year. I'm not paying anybody to be my therapist right now, so I'll stop. But the idea was that I chose one issue that I had with my wife every day, and I wrote in a journal. I challenged myself to see that differently, to see the good. I just made it up, whatever I could come up, whatever crazy excuse I can come up with for why she's behaving this way, but for the positive. And I'll tell you that it was one of the most life-shifting exercises I've ever done. I mean, it was like every single thing she did. And once I changed the way I saw her through writing why she's behaving the way she's behaving and how actually it's actually for our benefit and for the benefit of the relationship, it was like there was a depth to my love for her that I had never experienced, because I had this wall that was up that wouldn't allow my heart to fully embrace who she is, you know. And journaling this love diet, I called it, you know, journaling this gave me the strength and the openness to see her even better than I had before, because I was no longer looking at her from what she was giving me. I was looking at her for the beauty that she currently represents. And I was like, wow, she's amazing, you know, and she's even better than I thought before, you know. And it wasn't that fantastical that it was like I was living the willing suspension of disbelief or something like that. I wasn't making things up completely, but I was looking at her from a place of compassion and positivity and gratitude, you know, and that really shifted the whole way I saw her and the whole way I related to her. And I started feeling like, wow, what a treasure. You know, and that's such an important part of marriage. I would never have been able to do that. And I promise that has shifted so much of the way I see everybody. Kevin, that's even shifted the way I see you. and everybody. Because you need to change your lens that you're wearing, the glasses that you're wearing. You change your glasses. You see things differently. Tishrei?
Hi, everybody. I don't really have anything to share. I am kind of sad that I missed the beginning of this, but it's a really good space. I think it's really important, especially because there's a lot of fear surrounding marriage for people in my age group, because they just don't know what to expect, or they don't know how it's going to change their life, I think. Like, for me especially, it's like, oh, like if I partner with somebody, you know, now I'm responsible for another person and kind of building this relationship with them. And the thought of that can be can be quite scary. So I just really appreciate this space. I'm going to continue listening for now, and then if I have anything to add, I will.
Awesome. Yeah. And I just want to remind anybody who is coming here a little bit late, which is totally cool. I don't expect, you know, I'm very spontaneous with my spaces. I try to sneak them in to the best of my ability. And sometimes I'll have an hour opening or 2 hours opening in the middle of the day, and I'll just be like, okay, let's make a space. So please forgive me for that. So I wish one day I could just say every day at 7 o'clock, maybe one day I'll get there. But in any case, if you want to hear any of the spaces, they're all in my website. So I've converted them all to podcasts, and they're all completely available on my website. You just go to davidfeldman.com, and in the menu, you click Twitter Spaces, and they're all right there. So if you want to hear something, or if there's something that somebody said, or if you want to share it with one of your friends or your partner, and you think there's something valuable that, you know, or maybe you said something that you were, want to remember what you said, it's all available. Thanks, Rubes, for sharing. Okay, Heath, please share with us some good energy as you usually do.
David, can you hear me? Great. Again, love the title here, What to Expect, the Good, the Bad, and Forever. I want to encourage, just want everybody to think about, if you had a toothache, would you allow it just to continue? Would you allow it just to keep festering for a week or two? Or imagine getting COVID and you're getting some bad symptoms, like you're having a hard time breathing. Would you just hope that it just works itself out? When it comes to marriage, if you got fighting, disagreements, irritations, you need to deal with it right now. Before you go to bed, you're having some angst towards your spouse, you deal with it right now. If you got some financial trouble with your spouse, you deal with it right now. One of you might be spending too much. One of you might be saving too much. You deal with it right now. If you got problems with your in-laws and there's struggles there, man, don't go another day. You deal with it right now. This way my wife and I think about it, because when it comes to like a horse can pull like 7,000 pounds. And if there's another horse, though, that pulls next to it, you would think it's 14,000 pounds. No, you guys all know this. When you have another horse, another human, another partner getting together and you're all focused, man, you're able to pull like 20, 30,000 pounds. So my wife and I, we don't allow these little speed bumps. We don't allow these little holes, potholes to stop us. Whenever there's an issue, we deal with it right now. And that's how you deal with the bad. Don't let it fester, right? Don't let that abscess tooth continue to mess with your eating, your breathing. Deal with it right now. And again, you do it gently. You do it lovingly. You do it understanding. That's why you guys all need to follow David. Okay. If you're not following, you need to follow him. He'll help you walk through these things. But deal with it right now so that you and your spouse can run, do greater things on this earth, follow after your mission, do what God wants you to do so that you guys are able to run together. And always remember, your children are watching you guys. They're either seeing you not liking each other. They're seeing you getting irritated, getting annoyed by each other. Deal with it. Work on the forgiveness, and then start running.
Awesome. I love that message. Yeah, definitely. Resolving issues is such an important part of having a healthy relationship, because I think one of the points that Heath is kind of hinting at is that resentment is the underminer, the undertaker, so to speak, of any healthy love. Resentment, especially for women. I mean, my gosh, I work with women that, you know, that they'll be having problems today, and they'll tell me that their husband said something to them 15 years ago that they're still dealing with, you know, and that's really sad on one level, right? That's sad on one level because poor woman, she's been dealing with it for 15 years. But on the other hand, you know, I hate, and that's just to look at things, the glass half full, you know, she's keeping a running track of things that they need to work on in order for them to unify fully. So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, you know, basically. And I'm not a woman, but I can only tell you from my experience working with women, you know, they have the capacity to, you know, so that's why it's so important for people, for husbands to make space for their wives to share. You know, I've had that situation where one time I went up to my wife and I think we were getting along just fine at the time. We've been happily fighting for the last 30 years. So I think this is one of the times that we were getting along. And I said to her, and she was sitting in this chair that we have in our bedroom. And I said to her, you know, I want to give you an opportunity to share any memory or resentment that you have, and I promise you, I will fully apologize for it. And it was just like this gift that I gave her. You know, this isn't going to go on. Like, tomorrow, it doesn't, you know, this is a coupon that you have for today. That's it. And I will own it. I will not be defensive. I will listen to it. I will not argue with you. I will not tell you my side of the story. I will hear what you have to say, apologize for it, and commit to change. And that was just like a gift I gave her, you know. And it's just a powerful thing if you can, you know, if you can make space for the fact that your partner is going to have issues and kind of desire to get beyond them. Because after all, she's your partner, right? Like, you don't want her holding on to, you don't want her to holding on to pain. You know, who wants that? You know, that's the worst. I wouldn't want to be holding on to something for 15 years, you know? So, you know, how marriage, for those who just came in or for those who are just coming in, you know, we were, the main theme today is that we're talking about is the difference between dating and marriage, and how dating is just a preliminary to choose who it is that you actually want to go on the marriage journey with. And that we need to understand that we have, that marriage comes along with certain principles that if we're not familiar with and if we're not comfortable with, we're going to be in for quite a shock when that day comes. And these are some of the things we talked about. You know, marriage usually comes along with an expectation of family. Very important to kind of work out in advance. You know, the love and support. You know, we have to be willing to open our heart to our partners on a much deeper level once we're married than we were even when we were dating, and to support them during even more challenging times. Adventure. Marriage is, you know, you're spending the rest of your life with this person, and there's going to be fun things that you want to do or goals that you want to achieve or, you know, joint missions that you want to accomplish. That's part of marriage, and you have to be given over to that for your partner. Spiritual growth, obviously emotional connection, physical intimacy. Your whole concept of physical intimacy changes once you're married, right? Because now your partner is really relying on you to be available to them, and as well as, you know, growing in intimacy to keep things fresh and exciting and interesting and romantic. That's very important. You know, how do we see that? It's a little dating than different than the dating world. And of course, probably the biggest change is the idea of loyalty, right? We're committing forever, right? This is our new reality. So we're hooked, we're hitched. And that hitch is now rusty and locked. It's not going anywhere. So that has to be our mentality, which means we stop talking about even the idea of not being married. We don't bring up the words divorce or separation. We don't kick our partner out of the bedroom or, you know, heaven forbid, leave the house or any of those things, right? This is not part of what a lifelong committed marriage is about. We don't do that, you know? And then one of the other things that we talked about is becoming each other's biggest fans, right? You're my partner. You're my right hand. You know, the right hand doesn't beat up the left. The right hand gives, if the left hand is having a hard time carrying something, the right hand comes and helps the left hand pick it up, right? So that's part of what marriage is all about. These are some of the expectations. And these are non-negotiables. And so when we leave dating and we just think, well, I just want to take my marriage to the quote-unquote next, I'm sorry, I just want to take my dating life to the next level. I really like this girl. And I really just want to take it to the next level because we've done everything else. We've met each other. We're long-term exclusive. We've had sex and we've lived together. So let's just take it to the next level. It doesn't really work that way. You know, this next level is a whole other part of life. It's a whole other journey. And unfortunately, many people kind of just meander into marriage thinking it's just an extension of what they had been doing in the past, and they wake up for this huge awakening. They found themselves in the middle of the ocean without a life raft.
Thank you. I had a group coaching call last night with three of my clients, and just want to share some things both for the ladies and the men. These guys are, they're so afraid and they hate it when they come across to their wives where she makes them feel like they're incompetent, where she makes them feel like they're stupid. Now, of course, ladies could feel like, well, sometimes they are, or the way that they're leading, they are. Just think about these guys, though. They're at work all day, and they're crushing it. They're killing it. You know, they're growing their sales. They're advertising. They're doing all these things. They're getting all these accolades. And then they come home to their most precious person that they gave their life for, right? 5, 10, 15 years of marriage. And I just want to encourage all the ladies to make your husband feel like he's the man. I mean, you should be texting him at least once a day. Just say, I am so proud to be married to you. When he comes home, man, give him a kiss. Like, I've been thinking about you all day. And again, sometimes our actions follow our words. So maybe you haven't thought about him all day, but go and just speak that out so that your actions can follow. But the more, I mean, this is what, you know, Dova's just talking about. You know, you need to be the biggest fan, the raving fan. Because guys, myself included, married 23 years, I want to impress my wife. You know, I want her to look at me when we first started dating. Now, I know life takes over. Women have so many responsibilities with children, jobs, so forth. But just think about, are you building your man up so that he doesn't feel like he's an idiot? He doesn't feel like he's dumb. But you are just complimenting him. You still, sometimes he kind of looks up and he sees you just staring at him. It's like, what do you want? She said, I'm just so proud of you. I mean, I just thought about all the stuff. I mean, imagine just the kind of the wind you will blow there into his sails, and he'll want to do even more for you. And then again, for all of us guys, I just want to encourage you to do all the little things for your spouse. Again, romance, if I had to capsulize it into one sentence, it is the little things. And so the little things, again, is honoring her, pulling that chair out at the dinner table, giving her kindness, leading her, listening to her, not fixing her, letting her cry. But man, just romance her. Remember, ladies oftentimes are more feeling-based. Us guys are more structure-based, more analytical-based. So we're ultimately, we got two different languages there in the household. And our job as a man is to learn our wife's language. You know, the whole women are from Mars, men are from Venus. We just have to keep learning that, understanding that, not getting frustrated that, but realize, man, I want to let her know that I'm into her. Okay, I'm making sure that she knows she's worthy of all my love. So I'm going to study her. Again, Dovid and I have been married a couple decades. We're still studying. We fail often, but we want to get an A from our wife.
Cool. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, obviously the little things make a huge difference. You know, I think my wife's favorite, you know, aphrodisiac is when I get things done that she's been asking me to do. You know, nothing turns her on, and no fancy dinner or good wine or anything like that turns her on as much as, you know, when I do the things that she has been asking me that she depends on me for. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And, of course, women naturally already know that the power that they wield to inspire and influence their man, that's for sure. You know, sometimes some of my women clients have a hard time accessing their desire to do that for various reasons. Maybe they've done that in the past and it hasn't worked. Maybe they felt they've expressed themselves and their man has shut them down. Maybe they feel like whenever they, you know, encourage him, they try to encourage him, it turns into a fight. You know, so I do work with couples on how to communicate that. And sometimes I end up working with women on how best to utilize some of their feminine powers, so to speak, to bring a closer sense of intimacy and growth into the marriage. That's like a big thing, because we're not born knowing, even though we have these inherent powers. Like, for instance, men are natural leaders, right? So that's just a gift that we were born with, right? But we might not have access to how to do that. We may not know what does that mean? What does that look like? Maybe we're afraid to take that step. Maybe we're afraid to make that leap. Maybe we're nervous about disappointing somebody, or maybe we've been discouraged from exercising and expressing our strength. You know, so that's like something that we have to work on, you know, because our wife is depending on us to be that leader. And so too with women, right? Women have this incredible innate feminine power to influence their husband, their family, their children, right? This is all something that, this is a gift that God gave them to create and nurture people to their higher selves, right? That's an incredible gift, right? And yet some women may not know how to access that to the fullest extent possible. Maybe every time they try to inspire their kids, they end up yelling at them or something like that. So that's, you know, we need to access our God-given gifts. We also have to learn how to, you know, utilize them and express them to the best of our ability. I know that a lot of women's spaces talk about today, especially whether they're going to stay home or go to work. Some women think that their husbands want them to work and not stay home. That must be very stressful for women, very difficult for women, not knowing whether they should be contributing financially to the family or leaving all of that burden on their husband. You know, maybe that's a challenge that some women face, or maybe even a little differently. Maybe they're nervous to let go of their job because their job is their security. I know a lot of women feel that way. They feel like they can't let go of their work because what happens if he leaves me? You know, what am I going to do if he walks out on our relationship? Which is so sad, unfortunately. But some people here in this group may say that it's smart because unfortunately we're at a 50% or 40% divorce rate. So I know women that are called stupid for leaving the workforce. So I can imagine that for women, it's a very difficult time to be somebody considering marriage because there's so many forces that are pulling them in opposite directions. It is very painful to, you know, be in a situation where we've trusted somebody and the lack of them coming through on their promises has put us in a really compromised situation. So yeah, that is definitely a common risk today, unfortunately, you know. So yeah, there's definitely a downside. There's definitely a downside for sure. And that's one of the reasons why I appreciate people that follow me on Twitter and follow like Heath and Kevin and Joe and some of the other people, because we try to, as best as we can, prepare people for the ups and downs of what marriage really entails, you know. And it's really, really important because we don't want to be in a sad situation. We don't want to be in a position where, you know, our lives have been turned over to the negative. Just want to, it's coming on, you know, an hour and a half, so I think I'm going to wrap this up. I've been really blessed to have everybody here and share their stories and to give us a chance to share our knowledge with you. And I'm hopeful that everybody can take the message that we're sharing, which is that, you know, marriage has its, we need to be clear on what we're getting into when we tie the knot, you know, as much as we can. It's always going to be a journey that has its hidden pleasures and beauty, and it also has its hidden pitfalls for sure. So we just have to realize that this is part of living life. We only have one life to live, right? And your soul came down here to share it with another soul. That's part of, it says that 40 days before you were put into this earth, into this world, a heavenly voice cried out and said, who was your soulmate already? So we already, it's already been decreed. And so our job is to learn to love and get along with the woman that's in our life, with the man that's in our life, and to hold on tight and to grow together as a couple through the years and through the valleys and the mountains of what it means to live a committed life. And I appreciate everybody coming here. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, the easiest way is obviously through Twitter, at David Feldman, or you can go to my website, davidfeldman.com. I have couples programs. I have individual counseling if that's something. I've got tons of free stuff on my blog. If it's just what you're looking for, an article on anything, that is just, my blog is so full of great articles. I have a podcast you can hook up to if you want to hear any of our previous Twitter spaces, including the one that I did with Heath the other day. It's all on my website. You just go to davidfeldman.com. You go to Twitter spaces, which is one of the menus, and you hear everything that we've talked about before. God bless everybody, and I hope you have a fantastic day. God bless you.